This is the Agribusiness Report. I'm Tony St. James. Well, it seems like it's all South Dakota today. Ed Blair is with Blair Brothers Angus in South Dakota, recent award winner at the Cattle Industry Convention and NCBA Trade Show. We'll talk to him about his operation. But first, South Dakota Native and Farm Service Agency Administrator Zach Duchino.
So the changes we made to supplemental DMC were actually retroactive to 2021 and will go forward. And what that change amounts to is that producers can use 100% of the cost of premium alfalfa rather than only 50%. And that'll make DMC payments more reflective of the actual dairy expenses. And then payments will actually be more likely to trigger for operations that have DMC coverage for 2022. In order to sign up, a producer can make those changes and revisions to their 2021 DMC contract.
This is the Agribusiness Report. I'm Tony St. James. We're joined today by Ed Blair. Ed's with Blair Brothers Angus, Vail, South Dakota. Great to see you.
Well, thank you, Tony.
First off, about you, we'll move over to the ranch in just a moment, but did you grow up in Vail? Tell me about your path, how you ended up at the ranch.
Yeah, so anyway, my dad moved to the operation that we're on in 1954. At that time, it was roughly a 100-cow outfit. Vail, by the way, is right north of Sturgis, South Dakota, and that's a place where every year in August, why we invite about 500,000 of our closest fans to come up for a party. And those guys do know how to party. Come riding in on their motorcycles, but you know, that's kind of the unique area that we're in. It's a real pretty area. There's a lot to see. I can understand why they do that, I guess. And what's amazing is, you know, they'll come in a Bluebird bus pulling a trailer, you know, half that size, and got the Corvette in there and the motorcycles. And the big deal is it's 10 days, and then they're gone again, and we're back to our little town of 6,000 people, you know.
But you hit on a really good point here, and that is that people from all over the country converge on South Dakota because of how beautiful it is. Does that tie back into the sustainability and the ability to maintain the land, but at the same time be able to live off the land?
Well, you know, that area is really good, and it's an old area. That area is older than the Rocky Mountains. And, you know, and we get some uplift because of the Black Hills in there, and maybe do get a little more rain in there. The thing about that I like, you know, we aren't overpopulated yet, although there's quite a lot of people moving into the area in the last year since COVID. You know, these people that can work from any place, quite a lot of them are choosing, you know, the Black Hills. And part of it's a good deal, I think. You know, you got to have progress as you go along, but, you know, and part of it, I'd just soon we could keep it like we have had it, you know.
Well, and I'm glad you said that, because how it ended up in the family is a pretty interesting story, too, that dates back to, is it before the Revolution?
Yeah. So my family came to over the United States from Scotland before the Revolutionary War, and nobody ever told me, you know, why, or I never heard the story of why they came. Just the three brothers came to the United States at that time. Yeah, and so from there, why the three brothers kind of split up, and my, it'd be great-great-grandfather then moved into the Missouri area, and then he was a drover. They used to take cattle out of Missouri to Dodge City, Kansas. And when my grandfather then was 19 years old. They sent him out to discover a new home for the family, and there was two places that they were going to look at, and one of them was in Oklahoma, and the other one was Western South Dakota, and he chose the Western South Dakota and settled in the valley there between Sturgis and Rapid City. And his ranch at that time was right south of the National Cemetery. It butted right up to it. But when the interstate came through in the 60s, why, it split the ranch in half. And he sold off the east half of it then to a developer. And then the west half, he lived there for a number of years after that. But my dad then split away and moved to the ranch that I'm on now in 1954. I grew up on that ranch. And the thing that's been good was I always knew what I was going to do, and it was going to run cows, and I was going to run a lot of cows. And my goal at that time was if I could run 500 cows, well, I'd probably be sitting pretty good. And I kind of topped out around 1,500 before I decided, well, that's about, all one or two guys could handle, and back to out of that deal.
Let's talk about why we're here today. Cattle Industry Convention, NCBA Trade Show. But it has to do with something that you have in common with some other people from around the country, and it's an award. Tell me about that.
So we were nominated by all the local cattlemen's association for an environmental stewardship award, and this award is awarded to operations that have done a lot to help the environment and also, manage their places. These people are good managers. They take care of the environment. They care about the wildlife. They go in and develop water systems. And I've been working on putting in water probably for 35, 40 years and have put in, 50 some miles of pipeline and probably hundreds of water tanks to, be able to manage the land that I'm trusted with. And it helps manage the cattle, helps people, and then also it helps the wildlife. And we're big on wildlife. We've got one of the largest sage-grouse leks in the state of South Dakota north on a ranch north of Belle Fourche.
So here's the next one for you. And obviously we've talked about the ranch, we've talked about the land, we've talked about some of the goals, some of the things you wanted to do there. But I want you to talk to neighbors now. Not necessarily neighbors right there in South Dakota, but from across the country. If you could offer a little bit of advice based upon your historical perspective here about taking care of the land, what would you encourage them to do? What would you offer?
The big thing with land management, you got to look at it that, first you got to put in the water. You've got, especially in our country. I mean, you go to other parts of the country, well, I know they've got too much water, so that's a completely different thing than the situation that I'm in, where we're looking at a 14-inch rainfall area and runoff water is the only thing that we can get, because a well in our area is 3,800 feet to hit water, fairly good water. And even at that, well, you're looking at maybe an average well would be 18 gallons a minute at that depth. And I guess the main thing is when you're putting in water systems, make sure you size the pipe big enough. A cow will drink 25 gallons of water at least a minute or so. Then so you're limited on how much water that you can put into a tank. You know, if you only got 20 gallons a minute, you're going to have trouble being able to water very many cows out of that, because they take so much at one time, and being able to size the pipe for the amount of animals that you're trying to water. That's really important. Or one thing that I've really found that a lot of people don't do is they undersize the pipe, I guess.
So good to see you. Thank you for the work that you do on your land, because, again, it does reflect on others around us. So thank you for what you're doing. We wish you the best.
Well, thank you, Tony. And I've started another thing. I'm on the South Dakota Land Trust up there. That's where agricultural people are trying to help, you know, people that they want to keep their property in a good shape. And so with our South Dakota Land Trust, we're going to be able to put those properties into perpetuity and then also keep them as ag land, where you'll be able to run your cows on them. If they've got timber properties, they'll be able to take the timber off of that. You know, just do good management. But these will always be areas that will be a green area out there and never develop.
Ed Blair is with Blair Brothers Angus, Vale, South Dakota, from the 2022 Cattle Industry Convention and NCBA Trade Show. I'm Tony St. James. It's the Agribusiness Report.
Second best isn't good enough when it comes to your tractor's performance. You know what? We know it. That's why we run Fendt tractors. One test drive can show you the difference between a great tractor and a truly exceptional machine. Ready to set up a demo? Get behind the wheel of a Fendt to experience it for yourself and see why the best run operations run Fendt. Learn more at LivingstonMachinery.com and to find a location near you. Livingston Machinery, 24/7 service for your 24/7 operation.
The best thing you can put on your crop is your shadow. Your need to be in the field won't change, and the Cotton Research and Promotion Program was put into place to make sure you get the most from every minute you're out there. That's why the Cotton Board and Cotton Incorporated work alongside growers to spur innovation, fund research, and foster sustainability so generations of farming families can walk the same turn rows for years to come. Forever Cotton. Visit cottonboard.org/forevercotton. It's the Agribusiness Report. William Kimbrose with Cotton Incorporated.
I do have to say that our key objective, well, it's Cotton Incorporated in general, but specifically in Asia, is we're looking to get more cotton into products. So in Asia, you can see here, we work across the supply chain. Asia is very unique in that we have fully integrated supply chains there. We'll work directly with cotton spinners who are purchasing U.S. cotton, converting that into yarn. We'll work very closely with fabric manufacturers meaning companies that take the yarn and put it into knit and woven fabrics, and then with dyeing and finishing, mostly also pulling all the way through to the brand side. So really we've got a, push and pull marketing strategy that's happening there, working very closely with the entire textile supply chain across Asia.
It's the Agribusiness Report.
Texas Corn Producers serves the state's corn farmers through both the Corn Board and the Association. The board is putting your checkoff dollars to work in research, promotion, and education to ensure producer profitability and market expansion. The member-supported association is the farmer's advocate in Austin and Washington, D.C. on issues from the Farm Bill, water and property rights, and more. Join the Texas Corn Producers Association today and get the latest news and information about Texas Corn Producers' efforts online at www.texascorn.org.
When it comes to farming cotton in West Texas, the formula for success is simple. Put strong in, get strong out. That's why growers rely on Delta Pine brand cotton, bred, tested, and made in West Texas for West Texas growing conditions. Strong is a legacy all its own. Protect yours with strong cotton from Delta Pine. Always read and follow IRM where applicable, grain marketing, and all other stewardship practices and pesticide label directions.
It's the Agribusiness Report. Special guest today, Ed Blair with Blair Brothers Angus in South Dakota. It's the Agribusiness Report.
It's that time of year you've been waiting for. Commodity Classic is back. March 10th through 12th in New Orleans. Join the Sorghum Checkoff for a learning center session, Finding the Sweet Spot, combining precision agriculture and conservation to build a sustainable and diverse farming landscape. Don't miss this cross-commodity, cross-sectoral collaboration with Pheasants and Quail Forever and Cotton Incorporated. Register online at CommodityClassic.com or listen to it live here. Sorghum, the smart choice.
The National Cattlemen's Beef Association is the definitive voice of cattle producers in our nation's capital. NCBA is working on behalf of its members to protect your operation from government overreach and rising taxes. But the cattle business is under pressure, and we need every producer to join us to protect our way of life. Join NCBA today and help us protect the future of your farm or ranch. Visit NCBA.org or call 866-233-3872 for more information.
It's the Agribusiness Report.
The Agriculture Department is expanding and strengthening its program of surveillance of wild birds looking for highly pathogenic avian influenza. Last month, that surveillance along the Atlantic Migratory Flyway turned up some wild birds with the virus in the Carolinas and Florida. And now, with high-path bird flu detected in a commercial turkey operation in Indiana along the Mississippi Flyway, Dr. Juliana Linick with USDA's Animal and Plant Health Inspection Service says...
We have been given additional resources to expand surveillance in the Central and Mississippi Flyway, so essentially the middle of the country.
The surveillance program is already focused on collecting 16,500 wild bird samples. This expansion will add another 14,500 samples. Detecting avian influenza in wild birds can offer an early warning for commercial poultry operations that the virus may be in their area. Gary Crawford, Washington.